Can you close the door, please?
So that was footnote 211.
How far down was that quote in the footnote?
It's right there, the top one.
That's why I thought I was, what I said was okay, that right before Fani's, he's saying, hey, we've gotten somewhere. And we really have gotten somewhere. And John, what was that you were saying?
He talks about at the end of my story about how he was split and would be born as one, and at the very end of my story.
Okay.
Okay. 301, but not 211.
Anyway, we're on three topics.
We're on the gift of magic. Three prophecies introduces what comes for a couple of chapters. And so the soul gives him a black magic rod formed like a serpent. That's 307, first column. Second column, he says, magic, what should I do with magic? I don't believe in it. I can't believe in it. My heart sinks. Am I supposed to sacrifice a greater part of my humanity to magic? And of course, he did sacrifice a greater part of his life to the mystery of union. And then I just throw this picture in, how that self now is organizing what's inside him. The central point is holding the pieces together. That's exactly what the self does.
That image seems to be related to the red and black, or the gold and black seed, to me, that he speaks of in the scrutinies at the end.
But you've got the dragon. Say something about that.
Well, I think the threatening parts of the psyche are now held in balance.
Okay.
In 308, second column, how much the future depths carry. The tension of the future is unbearable in us. Great is the power of the way. I take that as an example of that his work really looked into what is generating history. So he's not just working on himself anymore. He's working on what makes us all tick. And the war hadn't started yet, but it will soon. I think we're right around the beginning of 1914, and the war started in is it August, I believe, of 1914. Yeah.
It was just phenomenal that all this happened to him in about a month.
Yeah.
I mean, see,
we feel like we're going crazy.
yeah. Reviewing the review.
It's astounding. He could keep his feet in the ground.
What was he living? I mean,
plus changing diapers.
I can't believe he changed too many diapers in this.
So what struck me in reading some of these passages was I've known some people who went through psychotic episodes and stuff, and he sounded just like them.
Yeah.
Or they sounded just like he was writing in here. And some of these passages, you know, like, this is what he's going through, like, you know, a psychic break here.
Well, the difference, though, is he is always present, and he's always evaluating. That's the difference. But the material is the material you find in the psychosis, but in somebody who can look at it. And I, you know, he says, had I not been able to look at it, I would have gone crazy.
It was like Kurt Vonnegut in Solar House 5, was that it? I mean, he was psychotic, but he could write it down.
Uh-huh.
That was about the World War II.
Yeah, he was in prison too, wasn't he, I think?
That, I can't.
I think he was, yeah. Was he a prisoner of war?
Yeah, he was a German prisoner.
Kurt Vonnegut.
In Dresden when it was being bombed.
In Dresden, mm-hmm. Was he?
Yeah.
Vonnegut himself was?
Mm-hmm. Vonnegut was. Yeah. I'm just saying it's the same process itself.
He was a prisoner of war in the town of Dresden when the Allies were firebombed.
Yeah.
But he could, maybe, because he could write. I don't know, because he was a writer, you know, was what he was, more than a psychiatrist, but he could get it together and make some sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I could just add, too, I mean, this whole myth of Prometheus is this bringing or help of the help to the ego to endure the suffering, and that he gave to mankind fire, and he also divvied up better meat for mankind rather than the gods, and tricked the gods. But so he was in service of mankind and bringing a stronger ego that would be of service to something else other than your own egotistical needs. He was that type of, I guess he was kind of demigod because he was a titan.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to the Zeus.
Olympians.
Zeus in his game.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's so, that there is help. Edinger said there, when he reviewed that myth, he said there is help. There is an archetype of Prometheus that will give us help. Help to the ego to endure the suffering and I think that's what Jung got, you know, it will give you strength to endure and meaning in the suffering rather than just
succumb, just die.
Yeah.
Just die. You might keep on living, but your soul is dead. Like, all these poor people suffering PTSD, they name it now.
Well, somehow Jung was able to endure this.
Yeah.
Right at the very...
And grow through it. That's what's so amazing. Yeah.
And that takes it. I
like the way Joseph Henderson put it. You know, Henderson, he's one of the guys that founded the LA Institute. They're all dead now. He said, Jung was a man who, in theory, shouldn't have been, but he was.
Mm-hmm. He would know, because he analyze Emma and Tony Wolf.
Oh, that's Henderson is the guy in America. You might be thinking of Meyer.
Oh, okay.
But the same generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Henderson and Wheelwright started the San Francisco Jung Institute. I think they were both Americans, though. I think they went to medical school in England.
You do kind of think, I know this sounds weird, but you do, these people come along and are kind of like semi-gods that can endure more than what the average.
Yeah, I don't see how they endure it. Plus, kept up a normal life. That's what's so astounding.
That's part of what helped him endure it. I mean, was right over Christmas. I mean, this is, picture a typical Swiss Christmas with a family.
Yeah.
And he's going through this chaos, probably running up to Tony to try to get a handle on it, talk with her, and back to Emma. And I mean, my God!
Imagine. So, what did you do over Christmas break?
Well,
I spoke to God for 6 weeks. I agree. The phrase that just comes up, I'll just mention this, doesn't really add much to our understanding at the moment, but just to show you how you can see the seeds of his later work, he's told in the text 309, first column, the above is powerful, the below is powerful, twofold power, is in the one. And later, you know, he discovers that maxim from the Emerald Tablets, which are Hellenistic alchemical tablets. Heaven above, heaven below, stars above, stars below. All that is above also is below. Grasp this and rejoice. So you can see how I don't think he would have known that phrase at this time in his life. He hadn't read alchemy yet. But he must have been astounded when he could read some of these alchemical texts and see the same language that was that he had used in the Red Book. Okay, one more picture. Again, the self, you see how the self is beginning to take center stage and is illuminating.
That's 131?
131. Way of the cross. I saw the black serpent, this is 309, second column. I saw the black serpent as it wound itself upward around the wood of the cross. It crept into the body of the crucified and emerged again, transformed from his mouth. So what I take that to mean is his recognition that crucifixion is about rebirth of the lowest in us, the serpent. Remember, that's the same serpent that wrapped itself around him and made him, his face look like Ion. Always the transformation and growth through the word he uses is the phony, the earthly or the lowest. The instinctual, the problematic. Then a white 310, a white, first column, a white bird sat on my shoulder, spoke to me, let it rain, let the wind blow, let the waters flow, fire burn, let each thing have its development, let becoming have its day. So there you've got, see, the snake and the spirit. Or, go back to the very beginning, Salome and Elijah working together. Snake appears, and then he has insight. No longer is there a split. But what he had to accept is, I have to go the way of the instinct to get the insight. And then another quote in 310, the first column, it is unclear how great one's humility must be to take it upon oneself to live one's own life. Now compare that with all the talk about how great he was and the Son. Here he's talking about the importance of humility to become oneself. And then the same column, he who goes to himself climbs down. So all we're getting now is no longer this polarity of opposites, but messages that he will incorporate into his psychology. 311, the second column, he talks about the symbol. One creates inner freedom only through the symbol. Well, the essence of Jungian work is dream work. That's where he got it. Also in that column, just some quotes. The symbol rises out of the depths of the self. The task is to give birth to the old in a new time. So that would be his going back, looking at the symbolism of alchemy as relevant to our inner process. I love this. Will and intention certainly attain goals, but disturb the coming of the future. The genuine future is what is created when the two are synthesized into the self. And we are presented with our future work. We don't just make it up. Same column, futurity grows out of me. I do not create it, and yet I do, though not deliberately and willfully, but rather against will and intention. So he's getting clear how this self is showing him a way which he partially created because he created the conditions for its emergence, but it has an intelligence of its own. And also in that column, the ancients devised magic to compel fate. We need it to determine inner fate. Now, I think you can substitute the mystery of growth. But he hasn't yet gotten clear about the difference between the mystery and magic. If magic tries to force a result, and mystery receives a result. We come upon the magician. All of this now is what he's learning about life that he will incorporate. So he goes to the magician Philemon. Remember, Philemon and Baucis are a pair, to learn the black art of magic. In the first column of 3:13, he says, I have to leave my reason at home. That's the first column. Then he says, these matters do not follow ordinary understanding. I just have to jump ahead for a moment. Well, I'll wait till we get... No, it's the right moment. The 3:14, the second column. If those of you who have suffered through this material will appreciate this. The practice of magic consists in making what is not understood understandable in an incomprehensible way. If that doesn't sum up what we've been doing for 4 years, nothing does. Anyway, he's realizing that this Mysterium Conjunctionis, this is the title of his last book, can't be followed logically. And then that quote I noted here that I referred to earlier. It's in the Dream Analysis Seminar, if you're interested, page 549. He says, I don't know how, it is left to the grace of God to change. That's a later formulation of magic. I don't know how. He does mention the word mystery, I think, for the first time on 3:14, the first column. He says that Philemon knows the mysteries. And then 3:14, the first column. A rational man of the time will therefore never use magic, but it is another thing for whoever has opened the chaos in himself. Meaning this process of opposites that we've just been through. All we're doing now is hearing more quotes about the nature of growth that he realizes he can't grasp fully. And these are just different sentences expressing the same thing. One cannot say, this is 3:14, second column, I hit the thing. One cannot say what the effect of magic will be, since no one can know it in advance, because the magical is lawless, which means without rules and by chance. Now, I think you could say one cannot say what the effect of the mystery of the transformational process is. And without chance, later will be synchronicity. So you see how he's putting these ideas down in a very crude way. a certain solitude in isolation, a certain solitude and isolation are inescapable conditions of life for the well-being of oneself and of the other. Otherwise, one cannot sufficiently be oneself. A certain slowness of life will be unavoidable. Boy, is that for a cast on our current rush, rush, rush. Remember, technology is going to make life easier. Mm-hmm. 314, the second column over to 315, I won't go into it, but he starts allusions to an astrological analysis. And of course, that's the seed of Ion. That there are large patterns of history which interestingly seem to coincide with astrological symbolism. And believe it or not, it appears in dreams. Back to Eva a little bit now, 315. First column. Christ sent what is beneath to hell. See the separation of the dark stuff. But the separated cannot remain separated forever. It will be united again and the month of the fish will soon be over. Clear alchemical, astrological reference. The month of the fish would be Pisces. Is it okay? Sound familiar?
Look, he talks about a pregnant woman here. I hadn't noticed that before.
I don't have that with you. You want to read it?
Oh, he just simply says, only pregnant women can give birth. Thinking of my image.
And he was like a pregnant woman. Three 15, the first column, he uses the word mystery again. What mystery are you intimating to me, Philemon? Truly, you are the lover who once took in the gods as they wandered the earth. Remember the story of Philemon and Baucis receiving Zeus and Hermes. So he doesn't use the word magic now, he uses the word mystery. And we'll see that he sees his role, or our role, in mature growth as being able to receive what the self is communicating to us. And in that sense, we become Philemon and Baucis. Remember, Faust killed Philemon and Baucis, and Jung sees his message as trying to rescue that function that can communicate another dimension into this time and space. And then same 315, the first column. Truly, Philemon, I did not see that your hut is a temple. So here we begin to see his understanding of religion, that the sacred is receiving the voice of the self and communicating it to time and space.
And that one image you showed of the man watering the...
Yeah.
Was that Philemon?
No. That was I would say it's part of Jung that was involved in killing Siegfried, and now has turned to what's going to replace him.
Interesting. In the background, we said looked like a temple. That was Philemon, that was his temple in the background?
Or that Jung is becoming Philemon, and is seeing that, you know, temple is something internal. But in a way, all these figures, Phanes, Telesphorus, Philemon, they're all different cuts of the same cow, you might say. This idea that the psyche has got its own point of view, which it tries to communicate. Chapter 3:15, second column. Under what mask, O Philemon, are you hiding? Your wisdom is the wisdom of serpents, cold with a grain of poison, yet healing in small doses. The hiding would be how life's bruises can contain a lesson which is necessary for getting us where we're going. That, in a way, anticipates Ion, where we look at problems in our life as a place where we can collect another piece of our selfhood. How is it that this piece of life crossed my path? Theology again. 3:16, first column. You are no light that shines in the darkness. Now, that is a reference to John, where Christ is the light that shines in the darkness.
Who's he speaking to, Philemon?
Yes.
You are not a light that shines?
Well, you are not a light like Christ is a light.
Okay.
You're a different kind of light. It's a little confusing, but I believe that's what he's saying. Because Christ is the light that shines in the darkness.
Traditionally.
Mm-hmm. And you're a different kind of light. So, see, he's contrasting his understanding of Revelation with the Christian understanding of Revelation. And the distinction, I think, would be 3:17a, first column. Only he who knows the darkest error knows what light is. So Christ is the light in the darkness. Jung is saying the darkness is the light. And here we got our picture of Philemon.
154.
I think that in a way that kind of confirms your intuition, John, because that whatever he's standing on is like that temple in the watering picture. But for all of these, whether we say it's Philemon or it's Phanes or at the Victor or Telesphorus, I think they're all pretty much the same, meaning that's the wisdom that comes to us through dreams and fantasies that guides us. And it's not something we create, but something we receive. That's what he's coming upon. That consciousness is not the only source of understanding. And life's negative moments also can contain an understanding. And then Three 17, first column. Overnight I became fond of serpents, so now he's coming to understand that the serpent side of life, the instinctual, the problematic, the rough spots, can convey just what we need to know to get where we're going. Overnight I became fond of serpents, and I solved their riddle. As I walked on my way, I came to a red rock on which a great iridescent serpent lay. Since I had now learned magic from Philemon, I would say the process of the mystery of transformation from Philemon, I took out my flute again and played a sweet magical song to make her believe she was my soul. Now, he then paints this picture. In footnote 283, the editor says Jung talked about this picture in an essay, The Psychological Aspects of the Core. It's not important. But what he writes about the picture then is, then the anima appears in a church, taking the place of the altar. So the anima becomes the altar. That is another huge point he will be making in his commentary on religion. Meaning, the inner process of coming to terms with that voice inside us is the new religious task. Just a nice little one-liner on 317, the second column. Have you noticed that the becoming of a soul follows a serpentine path? Yes, I have. Some important but a little confusing comments. 318. Second column. Why did I behave as if that serpent were my soul? Only it seems because my soul was a serpent. Serpents are wise, and I wanted my serpent soul to communicate her wisdom to me. Now, the relationship between the serpent and the soul is that to hear the wisdom, we have to be dealing with whatever that serpent symbolizes, generally something instinctual, something problematic, something difficult. And the soul and the way to become the soul, he's seeing as the same thing. Sorry, the soul and the way to hear the soul, he's seeing as the same thing.
That's page 317?
318, second column. 318. Or another way of saying it is, Elijah and Salome are no longer two separate figures anymore. One is the path to wisdom, the other is the wisdom. And the path is the instinctual, bodily, concrete life experience. See how far that is from the anchorite. Ankaroid gets there by being a hermit. Jung gets there by living the things that he's faced with. So that spirit and matter aren't two separate things anymore.
Did he actually draw that? Is that something you did?
I believe, yeah.
Okay.
And again, you got the Eastern idea.
There's one person not.
Oh, there's a lot of persons not.
Okay.
we have a lot of discussion about how people are reacting to
it. There's this person there, and this person there.
And there's an old man shaking his cane at her, and you know.
There's a lot of people who are hostile to them. Others, there seem to be more in awe, like this boy around, looking around the pillar.
Well, she hasn't really found her place, it seems. I mean,
why do you say that?
Today.
Well, she hasn't. She's not fully there happily. She's resisted. The resistance is being shown, too, in this image.
I see, by the reactions of the people.
Yeah. So, and if this is a church, maybe this is not quite where her altar should be.
Or people aren't ready to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think what he's doing, he's completely redefining what religious is.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
And it's no longer going to church. It's fulfilling your meaning. And that requires mistakes and heartache as well as successes and joys. And you can't leave out the body's desire. And you can't leave out those knocks in life which almost sink your boat.
And the image came to him before he really understood it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he wouldn't understand this for, I'm guessing, for decades.
But we now painted it after he understood. So the image came to him.
I got it, Carl. I think this was pretty much contemporary with the text. Sometimes we're given a date and sometimes we're not.
But that's the thing, if you remember the dreams, I mean, there are two dreams I remember from childhood and I'm still working on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you remember them, I'm still trying to honor them.
Yeah,
then you would paint it, even if you did it 20 years later, you would paint it in the spirit of the dream.
Or you may paint it at that time and write about it later, or all kinds of different, we don't know that he doesn't have 900 paintings of that somewhere.
There's almost an old Arabic.
I saw that, yeah.
Arabic, yeah.
Overrun it, left side, yeah.
Characters.
Yeah, she's failed. Like,
if she failed,
like she's moving from this long.
Did you paint this? It's just like, damn, some people just got too much done.
It's interesting that the moon is in there and yet we're in a body.
Let's get the
moon. Christmas. Because it's
Like
as though that's a window behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the moon is right in there. But it's totally possible to paint an image, like to go back to a dream and just paint that image and not be conscious of everything you know.
Yeah.
You can do that. So I can easily see him going, even if he didn't paint it at the same time, to enter that state again and simply paint it without his conscious knowledge affecting the image.
But getting back in the spirit of the time in which you first met, First Amendment. And I keep recalling that, you know, this, the elimination of the Red Book took some time. And,
yeah.
And the calligraphy that he, with which he put it down, and he would work on this between sessions with his clients.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Sometimes we're given the date when the picture was painted, and sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
I had the impression that it was more or less along with the text. I can't be sure of that, though.
And what are those things up there above her? I can't see.
It was white. What, the angels?
The angels. Oh, they're angels. And the stars.
Yeah.
Okay. 319, first column. The throne of the God ascends into empty space, followed by the Holy Trinity, but the devil stays behind. Just that he's still wrestling with this place of the devil. And then 319, the second column, the serpent says, I am ambition, greed for fame, lust for action. I am the fizz of new thoughts and action. The absolute is boring and vegetative. Remember, he just said that my soul was a serpent. One page before that. So you see how all of those things which we are told in religion are bad, ambition, fame, lust, is the gateway to the soul. Again, Elijah and Salome would be all those desires, and the understanding that comes out of it would be the soul. That would be the voice of Elijah. So these things are no longer opposites. And thinking back on your question, Carl, this was painted in 1928. So I guess the paintings were done in a different time period, Carl. Remember, he said he painted this in 1928. He wrote that right on the margin. And then he got the text from Wilhelm about the secret of the golden flower. So, I don't know if we always know what
the black book or the preliminary drawings.
I don't know. That'd be something I can ask my colleague when I see him.
But there are. Sketches that he made at the time, not necessarily anticipating what he would use them here,
I'll see John. I'll ask him that.
How are you connecting with him?
I'm doing a workshop back in Connecticut, and he'll be there. He lives not too far from where I'll be doing it. He said he'd come.
The editor?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was British.
No, he's a Yankee.
Sean Bassani?
No, John Peck.
Oh, Peck.
Sean Bassani was the main editor. I think John did the smoothing the translation into better English.
I see. Footnote 307 gives you a detailed explanation about this.
You want to read it, John?
It's pretty long. It talks about this image.
Yeah.
He painted it and reproduced it.
Yeah, and then Wilhelm sending the manuscript shortly thereafter. The Gabiri appear.
Page 320?
320. And they're the creative figures. They're the personifications of his creativity. They say, what serviceable forms rise from your body? I guess he says that. These appear as elemental spirits, the Kabiri. And the Kabiri say, we want to greet you as the master of the lower nature. We carry what is not to be carried from below to above. That might be a place to stop. Well, how are we doing? Yeah, let's not push it. We have gotten as far on the outline as far as the devil, the Kabiri, and the tower. The devil we've already seen. The Kabiri will be his creativity, and the tower will be it's a you could say a dream tower, but I see here a reference to Balligan, that this is where he can go to be protected, have a protected space to do this writing.
Did he do a lot of his writing at Balligan?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he did all of it. I think what I understood was, certainly at least in his later years, he'd work 3 weeks and then go down to Balligan for a week. Work three in Kuznak and then go down to Balligan for a week. So he split his time between his practice and his writing. He'd collect his notes in Kuznak and then do the writing down there.
So he started planning the tower in 1920.
Does it say when he, I forget when he built it. Does it say, John?
It's 315. Talk about comments about the tower that in 1920 he began planning his tower.
Yeah, so this material would be quite a few years before that. But it must have been one of the things that inspired him to.
Right.
To create a space. Well, we'll pick up then with the Kabiri. So I reckon, and we spent a good 45 minutes today reviewing the review. So I reckon we'll get done with this in 2 weeks. And then the last week, Carol, maybe you can bring your picture and bring your thoughts. And we'll bring some food. We also had a pitch in, John, the last class, in which we all bring very fine cuisine. No pressure. Okay, thank you. See you in two.